First time? Anyone? First time? Well, welcome. If you're joining us online for the first time, we welcome you as well. This is the first Wednesday of the month, and for those of you who have signed up to be part of our Mansions team, this is usually a time when Pastor addresses us for that training of Mansions, of the practice of abiding. He is in Thailand today, and along with Pastor Cammie, and they are releasing this word of abiding that the Lord has been imparting to him throughout the world now. He's been being called out at bits and pieces, so he'll be back with us very soon. But tonight, we're going to continue in our series on practicing the presence. And I would like to pray, but first, I know I was forgetting something. Just a couple of announcements. And the first one is that we are approaching summer rapidly, and so we're starting our summer worship nights. Next Friday, June 15th, here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m., we'll have a night of worship, just worship. You're all welcome to come and be part of that. There's no charge for that evening. It's just a time we're just going to gather and devote the whole evening to just glorifying the Lord in song, in movement, in whatever expressions he decides to bring forth. We'll do it next Friday, June 15th, we'll do one July 13th, and we'll do one also August 10th. So if you can't make one, hopefully you can make another one. Those of you online, we hope you can join us. We won't be live streaming those, but if you're local, you can come on down. Also, we have sound and media opportunities available. If sound or media is in your wheelhouse, if it's something that you love to do in your expression of worship before the Lord, please see me after the service, or you can email me at dianaanderson@jubileechurch.org. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Lord, I realize it's not a shifting of gears, it's a continuing. Continuing in the conversation that was begun in worship. Father, you started a conversation not just with me, but with everyone here. And I pray that as we turn to your word, that that conversation that you began with them, with each one of us in worship, would just continue through the evening, would continue into the night, would be their first thing in the morning when we rise, that we would walk with you. Walk in the presence as Adam and Eve walked with you in the garden. Let us walk with you in your presence. Unveil your word to us tonight. Speak through your word to your church. Help us to see clearly what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us as Jubilee, and to each one of us as your sons and daughters here tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I started Sunday morning talking about when we get to that place where we're going, God, hello, where are you? That time where we're walking with the Lord and we don't feel his presence. We can feel very alone. We can feel in the midst of something, particularly if he gave us a word and we heard a word and we're like, yes, I hear you. And we go running into that word, and then we get there and we're like, I hear crickets in the middle. Hello, hello. And it's so easy to get to a place where our soul thinks we're alone. And it was interesting because tonight, I'm going to move this forward because I like being on the end. Tonight when we were singing, I Love Your Presence, and at one point, I'm just going to get honest. At one point, I'm like, but where is it? Because you can be in worship and not feel the presence of God. And then there's other times you're in worship and you're like, oh my, you know, you can't even stand in his presence. And so there was a moment I'm in there, I love your presence. Where is it? That's just an honest moment with the Lord. I love worshiping him because I can just come and be me. I don't have to be super holy. I don't have to be, oh, the worship leader. I'm not here to be anything. I'm here to just give to him. I'm here to give to him an honest expression of love and commitment and devotion wherever I am in the moment. That is my prayer for us as Jubilee, is an honest expression of love and devotion before the Father, whether we feel it or whether we don't feel it, whether we sense it, whether we don't sense it. I can be honest with where I am, and I can stand here in vulnerability and just say, Lord, here's where I am. But the truth I know is here's where you are. You're always with me. You never leave me nor forsake me. And so just as my mind went really quick, I love your presence, but where is it? I just felt like the Father's hand, like a papa's hand, come and hit my head and ruffle my hair. He's like, I'm here. I'm right here. I'm always right here, and I've got you. I've got you so close to your mind. I'm not going to let you go. Never going to leave you. Never going to forsake you. That's where you live. That's where you draw your life. That's where you draw your breath. Right here, right now, always. Muscle your hair. You know, muff, 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 muff. I'm like, okay. I love your presence. I love your goodness. I love your faithfulness, God. And he was leading me in my study to talking about, you know, I spoke a lot on being afraid on Sunday, because when we feel we're alone, we get afraid. When we feel we're being exposed, we get afraid. And our tendency is to back up and try and cover ourselves. And we'll try and cover ourselves by being super spiritual, or we'll try and cover ourselves by operating out of the place of our strength. You know, we'll default to what we knew worked last time. But if you remember something, a story about a rock and Moses, defaulting is not a good idea. You know, that story in Deuteronomy where the Lord is providing for them, how? On the basis of following him. On the basis of trust and obey. Trust, obey. Follow me, and I'm going to provide. I will provide for you if you will believe and you will follow me. And I've given Moses as the leader, but I'm God over all of you. Follow me, follow me. Now, Moses, the people need water. Take the staff, take the place of your authority that I've put in your hands, and hit the hard place. Hit the place where there is no provision. And now I will bring provision. And so Moses did in obedience. He struck the rock. And the Lord told him, strike the rock 3 times. Bam, bam, bam. Water began to flow out of a place that seemed to have no water. It was a hard place. It was a rock. Sometimes I feel like a rock. I feel like, Lord, I know I'm a Christian, but I feel like a real hard, dry place. And he's like, it's all good. I have put my son inside of you. The authority is present. Tell the hard place, yield. And he brings forth water. But that was miraculous provision. It's so easy to read it, and we've read it time and again, and we get so familiar with it, and we're like, yeah, he struck the rock and water came out. I've even seen a couple of movies, and you watch the water start bubbling up and coming out, and it doesn't seem like an extraordinary miracle to us, but they were thirsty. They were way thirsty, and they didn't know where the water would be. My family travels across country all the time. We take road trips. My husband would much rather drive somewhere than fly, because for him, the joy of discovering along the way is just what he delights in. And so if this is the way there, we're going to go this way. And this way. And this way. And whoa, look at that. If we had stayed on the interstate, we never would have saw that. That was really cool. And he goes this way. And it's because he delights not in the destination. He delights in the journey. And I've learned so much from him because my dad didn't even let us stop for the bathroom. Okay? We were in the car. We had somewhere to get. We were going, and we were not stopping till we had arrived. So I got married, and we got in the car, and my husband gets off the interstate. I'm like, wait. What are you doing? What are you doing? We're not going here. Look, the map says we're going there. Why are we getting on? He's like, chill. Come look. I'm like, but we're going there. And he's like, there's no one waiting for us there. Why are you in a hurry? I'm like, I don't know. But the truth is it was all I knew. All I knew was you got to get there. And then what? This is cool. This is lovely. Couple days. Beautiful, gorgeous place. Mountains, waterfalls, hiking trails. My husband goes, let's pull up camp and let's go somewhere else. I'm like, but we're here. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And he's like, yes, but there's more. And back in the car, pull up the tent, pull up, let's go. Because in the journey was discovery, was things, you know, my kids, their favorite joke is, oh, hey, look, it's the Museum of Dirt. We'll probably stop there. Why? Because my husband delights in story. He delights in people's history. Everywhere we go, like if you're driving along Highway 395 between here and Mammoth, there's a lot of towns that have, you could call them ghost towns, but they've been emptied out. And you see these houses that are falling apart in these old barns. And my husband always goes, that was somebody's dream. And what it's done is it's caused me to look at a thing that growing up in my family, we're like, it's the desert, it's brown, ugly. And he's like, no, there's beauty here, and there's history here, and there's stories here. Stop, listen, smell, look down. I was just used to, if it wasn't a pine tree, then it wasn't pretty. If it wasn't green and everywhere, then it was dead. And my husband's like, there's so much life here in the desert, but it looks different than what you're used to. It looks different than what you're used to. So, do I need to change mics? Okay, give me just a second. Technical, excuse me while we're experiencing technical difficulties.
Thank you. Here you go. Oh, much louder. Anyhow, I wasn't that sleepy. It was the microphone. So he's taught me beauty. He's taught me to realize that everywhere we go, there's history. There's someone who has gone before. It was a dream for them to homestead in that area, to build a house. What was the life they lived? What was the journey they had? Because in the Lord's eyes, every single person's journey matters. And when you know him, your journey is recorded in the Lamb's book. Your name is recorded in the Lamb's book, and with your name is your journey. So back to the rock. The Lord chose in a hard place to bring provision through the authority of Moses' rod. What is the rod that God has put in your hand? What is the place of authority you've been given? Those places come through your journey. Everyone is gifted. The gifts of God are without repentance, and they're given from birth.
Everyone has been gifted. Every human being on the planet has a spiritual gift. Every human being on the planet has not yielded that spiritual gift to the Lord of Lords and the Maker of heaven and earth. But the gifts of God are without repentance, and they're given to every single human on the planet, which is why you will find that some, what are those people called? The palm readers, tarot card readers. Some of those people are bang on accurate. Psychics, thank you. Why? They've been given the gift of prophecy. It's a spiritual gift. Have they yielded to the Lordship of Jesus? No. So now it's accessible to the demonic. They serve a different Lord. A lot of them don't even know it. But that gift has been given. Every single one of you has been given a gift from the Lord from birth, from creation. He created that. But that is not your authority. That is your gifting. What becomes your authority is the place of struggle that you have walked your journey with the Lord in faith. It may look like a failure. But if you have turned to the Lord and declared him Lord in the midst of that struggle, then he is walking something out with you. And if at the end of that struggle you find that Jesus Christ is Lord, not it worked out perfectly, but that I know Jesus Christ is Lord, that becomes a place of authority. That struggle, that part of your journey becomes Aaron's rod in your hand, Moses' rod in your hand. And it becomes the thing that God will bring you back to again and say, oh, I'm in a hard place. And he goes, right. But we have just built history together through that struggle. And at the end of it, you found me. Now, let's take that and let's strike the rock. However, that's a cool thing, and it might bring provision at that time. But the next time, he says, oh, you're here again. And there's that familiarity, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is that struggle again. I'm here again. I know what to do. Wait. Ask. Ask. You remember David got confident? Because God had given him a few victories and they had kicked a few Philistines' tails and some other guys, and he was feeling pretty confident. And there was another one that came up and he's like, oh, we'll go take him. And he didn't ask. And God went, nope. And he came back. He's like, Lord, why didn't we win? And he's like, you didn't ask. So even in the places of our authority, stop and ask. What are you doing, Lord? Don't strike the rock this time. And you know why that's important? Because we're not to lean on our own understanding, ever. Ever. In the place of our authority, in the place of our journey, where we have developed fellowship with the Lord there, and we now have a place of partnership with him, even in that, we need to come back and ask, what is it that you are doing right now? Because I will look at a thing and I will see it according to my understanding and I'll go, I've been here, I know what this is, I know what to do. And immediately I'm like, thanks, I got this one, Lord. But he's created us to be in partnership always, yielded to his lordship. And so our journey is what God is interested in. Our journey is what he delights in. Not getting to a place where I've nailed it. I've got it. I am holy. Yeah, that's going to cause me to strike a few too many rocks. Right? Ah, enjoying the journey. Let's go to Habakkuk 2, verse 1 through 3. I'm looking for my phone. Here it is. Habakkuk 2. Verse 1.
I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. In order to hear, I have to take up my place of watch. And a watch in the Bible is a guard. It's a sentry. It's someone who stands either at a gate, in a door, or on a wall. And what they are looking for are two things. People coming into the town that are safe, and the enemy. That's what the people on the watch are looking for. They're looking for people who are coming in who are friendly and people who are getting ready to come against us who are foes. So their job is to be on guard to protect the city. I need to take my place of watch in the Lord to guard this city, my heart. I need to, when he calls me, I need to rise up and say, I will set my eyes on you and I will watch. What is it I need to see? What am I looking for? What is it that is coming this way? Is it friend? Is it foe? And how am I to respond? And I will answer when I'm corrected. I want to look up really quick in my Strong's Concordance the word corrected. Give me just a second. Okay, so in the Old King James, it's reproved, which means chastened or rebuked. Why would God rebuke me? Why would he correct me? Why would he feel the need to correct me when I am standing watch? And, you know, I've been praying and talking to him about that. I'm like, Lord, this puzzles me. I'm at a place of question. I'm here to stand guard over my heart. Why would you reprove or correct me? And he said, no, understand, correction means to set you on a right path. Correction means to set you on a right path. So when you come to stand watch, to stand guard over your heart, as you fix your eyes on me, I'm going to set you on a right path. I'm going to correct your wrong thinking. And I'm going to bring you back into fellowship with me, into how I see a thing, as opposed to how you are encountering a thing. Verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. I'm like, okay, run. He's going to read it and run. Write the vision, make it plain. He's going to run. Why does he need to run? And he goes, well, it needs to be plain so that he can run, so that he doesn't have to spend a whole lot of time there going, what? I said, okay, so Lord, I need to write the vision and make it plain. What's the vision? He says, what have I shown you? What have I spoken to you? What is my word most recently to you? Take it, write it down. And if it's unclear, keep pursuing me. Keep pursuing me. Keep asking me, what are you saying here? Unpack this. Take me, lead me to another scripture. Lead me to a definition. Let me nut this thing down. And then let me make it plain. Let me make it concise. And he says, and the reason is because that becomes a tool in your belt that when I say run, you have a clear directive of what to do. You have a clear way to run. If you're sitting here going, well, I think, you can't run with that. You're still trying to work it out. You're stumbling on it. You're going to sit upon it. And he says, but if it's clear, you look at the directive, you go, I've got it. Now I can run. And so that takes that time of writing the vision down. What has he given you? What has he spoken over you? What was the last word you received? What was the last 5 words you received? Where? Sit with him in there. Sit with him in there and say, bring the through line in this. Show me, teach me, let me set my heart to see clearly what it is you are saying. And then Holy Spirit, because I'm not going to get there in my own brain. Holy Spirit, show me, teach me, speak to me, let me see clear, and let me bring it down. And I'm laughing because I was talking with my sister, and she's like, men don't like lots of words. Two sentences. She's like, take that paragraph, two sentences. And I was laughing because I have three sons. And if I go on and on and on, they do what most of you are doing here tonight. Huh? What? It's like, two sentences. What are you trying to say? Nut it down. Make it plain. Get it plain with the Lord. Lord, what is it you're saying? And once it's clear, when he says run, you can run. If it's not clear, then it's the time of discovery. Don't be in a hurry to run. Don't be in a hurry to get somewhere, because then you miss the journey and your vision is unclear and you will run in the wrong direction, or you'll run in your own strength. I bring up Moses because he had authority. He got to a familiar place and he didn't seek God and he ran in his own strength. And there was no provision there. And we want to stay in that place of hearing from him constantly. Next scripture. Well, sorry, stay there. That he may run who reads it. Your life, as you journey, creates a path for others behind you. Your life becomes a vision that is made clear. And people read your life and they hear God and it shows them how to run. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. I think the hardest thing in the body of Christ that I have encountered in my 29 years is we hear a word and we land our own picture of what it should be. And we don't wait for it. And we don't set guard over our heart. And we don't seek the Lord for clarity. And we go and we run to get to the destination when God is interested in the journey, and we miss it. And we're beating this rock and we're beating this rock and we're going, why is there no water here? I know I've been here before. I saw the rock. I hit it before. It worked last time. And God's like, because I'm not doing that now. That was at this leg of the journey. You are at this leg of the journey, and that is not going to apply here because I didn't create that to be this part of the journey. And so often we get really mad at God because he showed up here and we don't see him here, and we're like, why have you stopped? Is it me? Am I doing something wrong? I must be in sin somewhere. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Seek out this. What is going on? And we start looking immediately to ourselves. Immediately to what I'm doing. Or the other one is those people. If that person were nicer, then I would be more spiritual. If this child that you gave me knew Jesus, I could have a successful Christian life. And we start putting all the blame out here, and God's like, you are no longer standing watch over your city. You've left that place. You need correction. I need to correct you back to me. Go get the vision. Write it down. Let's unpack it. Let's discover it. And then if it is clear, then you wait for the appointed time and for how you're to walk in it. It will come. It always comes. Not always in the way we think, not always in the way we expect, and the results may not even be what we were hoping for. But it will come. There is an appointed time for every word of God over your life. And I want to tell you today, it will surely come. Wait for it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and wait on the Lord. I want to go to Matthew 25, verse 31. I was also talking on Sunday about, I'm on a discovery. I'm right at the beginning of unpacking this thing that Jesus is now the high priest. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Well, we know right now that he is seated by the Father. And it's very easy for us to relate to him before the cross, Jesus, who walked the earth for 3 years with his friends, well, his disciples. And then we can relate to him, Jesus, the one who bore my sin and my shame, the one who bore my scars, the one who knows my pain, the one who has suffered with me. I can relate to Jesus, my brother, who became my Savior. I can relate to him on a soul level, on a heart level. He knows pain. He experienced pain just like me, so I can relate to him there. And then he died, and he was resurrected, and he walked the planet for another 40 days, and we're like, yes, the resurrected Christ. He is resurrected. He's not in the grave. He's not Buddha. He's not Muhammad. He's alive. He's alive today. We don't serve a dead king. We serve a living king. I can relate to the living king, but he didn't stop there. He rose, he ascended into heaven, and is now seated. What the heck does that mean? He's seated next to the Father as a high priest making intercession for me. I didn't grow up in a Jewish household, so the idea of a high priest is a little foreign. I grew up in a Catholic household, and if any of you have ever been to a Catholic church, and you pull back and you start looking, it's super similar to the way temple is set up. You have the laver of washing at the entryway. You go in, you bow before the altar. There's showbread in there. There's a whole lot of similarity. And I'm like, okay, God, so rather than despising my upbringing, you work all things together for good. So what in my Catholic faith is helping me to see you now? Because you work it all together. You use all of it. I could have been an atheist. I could have been a New Ager. And God will use all of that to teach me who he is right now. And so now he's a high priest making intercession. But I didn't think I needed a priest because you died for me. You shed your blood for me. But the priests of the Old Testament were making sacrifice. I'm like, okay, I no longer need you to make a sacrifice for me, but you're still a priest. So you're not the priest of sacrifice because you did that once for all. That's over. You're now making intercession. Huh. You are calling me. You are praying for me. Thank you. Praying for me. Praying for every single one of us right here, right now, that we will come to understand everything he left for us to receive. Because he left so Holy Spirit would come. When he rose from the dead, they're like, don't go, don't go. He's like, I've got to go because the Holy Spirit has to come. This picture is not complete until he is indwelling you, and that will not happen unless I rise. So I'm just now on the beginning of that journey of discovery right now because I always thought, okay, well, the Holy Spirit's in us, then we should be healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. But they did that before he left. And I went, wait a minute. In the presence of Jesus, they were doing all those miracles before he died. In the presence of Jesus, all those miracles, they were able to walk in them. They came back going, we can cast out demons in your name. This is totally cool. He's like, yeah, but you need to rejoice that your name's written in the book of life. This is cool. Yes, you're right. But don't stop there. That's not the point. That is a fruit of my kingdom. That is an expression of my kingdom. And I am teaching you about walking in it as you are related rightly to me and my spirit is in your midst. But now I am going that he may come and indwell you. And now Jesus is sitting beside the Father making intercession. So there must be more, church. We are just now in the place of discovery. I am in the place of Habakkuk right now, standing watch on the wall going, I need you to correct me and I need you to help me understand the vision. What is this? He has just started a new place of discovery for me that could take me the next 20 years of my life to unpack. I have one piece of sand. My kids and I were laughing, you know, because we get one revelation and we're like, yes, and there's the beach. And we have our one grain of sand and we're like, yes, I know God. Wow. There's a whole lot more to discover. There's so much more to discover. All of this journey is the relationship he's inviting me to. He says, let me cover you. Stop being afraid. You will run into your humanity over and over. It's okay. Made you human. Paid for it. Got it taken care of. Don't be afraid of your humanity. When it shows up, don't cover it. Just look up. Just look up. I am your cover. I am your God. I'm Dad. Messing up your hair. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm here with you, even if you don't feel me. And when you don't feel me, that's when you take out those words and those visions and you're like, okay, help me unpack. What are you saying? There's more. God loves to play hide and seek. There's more. There's more. There's more of you. You are not mean. You are not cruel. You are not punishing me. You are not trying to keep me in the dark. You are beckoning me forward. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to seek it out. You are royalty in my house. Come and seek me out. Come look for the vision. Get on the wall. Start asking me to make the vision plain. And if I have made it plain, if I've netted it down, then you tarry and you wait for me to give it to you. When it's time to read and it's time to run, I will say, run! And there will be others who will read the vision that you lived and they will run behind you. And it won't lie. Wait for it. All of this journey, all of this place, trying to bring all my ducks back into a row makes sense now. It really is all about knowing, coming into knowing. That's the best way to say it. It's about coming in to knowing. Here's a grain of sand. Rejoice in that grain of sand. Now, let's move out onto the beach. And let's find another one. Coming into knowing. It's not about, I got it. I know God now. I'm done. You're never done. He's infinite. He's every single one of those grains of sand. I'm here. I'm in the journey. I don't know where we're going, and I feel like we're at the Museum of Dirt, and I'm not very excited. Yeah, but there's story there. Find me here in the journey. I haven't left you. You're with me. My presence never leaves you. It may express itself differently. I have been in the presence of God where I can't stand. I have been in the presence of God where there is a peace on me like those blankets at the dentist when they're going to give you an x-ray. I have been in the presence of God where the joy, I cannot stop. It is ridiculous. I have been in the presence of God where it's like, oh, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Because the holiness of God, you know, we're calling out for the Shekinah. I kind of laugh even singing those songs. That one, I didn't plan it tonight. It just kind of came out as we were going. And I'm like, we want the fullness under the blood. Because you are mighty and holy and an awesome and terrible God. And I don't mean terrible, terrible. I mean terrible, like powerful. Right? He's not to be trifled with. But he is to be discovered. The journey of presence is going to be different in every portion of your journey. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when you find yourself in a place you haven't encountered before, you haven't experienced. It doesn't feel, I feel this one feels hard. He's like, I'm here. I'm here. Watch. Get on the wall. Guard your heart. Look for me. Pull out your words. Pull out the words of the Lord that have been given to you by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, by people who've prayed over you. Talk to me. Where are you in these words? Where am I? Where am I in these words? Where am I now? Where am I on the journey? Where am I in the story with you right now? Where do you want me to see you, God? And to abide in that place for now. What are you saying now? Because sometimes you get there and you're like, he's not saying anything. Okay, keep seeking. Don't get mad. Don't be mad that you're at the Museum of Dirt. It may look like a rock, but there's provision in there. So then what are you saying? Am I to strike the rock? Am I to speak to the rock? Am I to just wait? Waiting is the hardest part, but it will not lie. It will speak. Though it tarries, wait for it. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. I want to finish with Revelation 3:20. Another place I wanted to go, but Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What does that tell me immediately? I'm not the one knocking. God is the pursuer. God is the one who pursues each of us. He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. So there's a point where I am just to stand and listen. And when he knocks, open. He says he will come in. Go to Song of Songs 5. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Kim. Go back to 3:21 of Revelation. Let me just read the second part of that. I don't want to keep you too long. Dun, 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 dun. Nope, go back one to 20. So what it means in the actual Aramaic, it says, I have been standing at the door and I have been knocking. It is past tense and present and future tense. All at the same time. I have been doing this and I am now doing it. So it's an active thing. So if you don't feel him, if you don't, you're like, I'm listening and there's no noise at the door. Wait for it. Wait for it. Okay, now quickly, let's go to Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to speed read. I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with milk. Eat, friends, drink, yes, drink deeply, oh, beloved ones. He's having a party. Man's in love, and he's celebrating with the dudes. Okay? Then he goes to her, and she's waiting for him. He's down partying with the dudes, and she's waiting, and she says, I sleep, but my heart is awake. It's the voice of my beloved, and he knocks saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. And she goes, oh, but I've taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I've washed my feet. How can I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock, and I opened for my beloved, but he had turned away and was gone. We don't know how long she took to get there. We don't know. But so often, God pursues us, and we're like, oh, it's God. And then we get distracted by life. And then we get distracted by episodes, by things that happen. And we kind of go, oh, just a minute, Lord. Or, yes, I want to respond, but then could you solve this for me first? Maybe you're going to let me down again. And we hesitate, and we pull back. And God goes, all right, come find me. And he walks away. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him. He gave me no answer. The watchmen who went about the city, they found me. They struck me. They wounded me. Because every time I lose sight of God, the enemy has a party on me. Right? Dang, I hate that part. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took my veil. They took my covering from me. That's a shaming thing, right? That's an exposing. That's how the enemy lies and said, God's not covering you. You're naked. And that's what the enemy loves to do. I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him that I am lovesick. And they said, what's your beloved more than another beloved, O fairest among women? What is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us? And this is the key. My beloved is white and ruddy. He is chief among 10,000. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of the water, washed with milk and fitly set. Oh, his cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies dripping with liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory. Dude, inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Chapter 6, verse 1. Well, where is your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where is your beloved turned aside that we can seek him with you? My beloved, my beloved has gone to his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed his flocks in the gardens and to gather the lilies. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flock among the lilies. That's where I'll find him. Do you see how she got there? Satan came after her, uncovered her. You're ashamed. You're uncovered. And they're like, and she's like, where is he? Where is he? And they're like, why are you in such a fit? And she's like, I've got to find him. And they're like, well, tell us about him. He's this, and he's this, and he's this, and he's this, and he's this. My beloved is this. She had to remind herself who he was. And the more she rehearsed what she knew to be true, the more she began to declare it, she began to see it. And as she saw it, she remembered who he was and where he would be. This is my beloved, and this is my beloved, and you will find him in the garden. She just talked herself right back into the presence by rehearsing what she knew to be true of her beloved. And the more she confessed it, and the more she began to see as she began to rehearse who he is and what he looks like and what he does, it overtook her fear and her doubt, which caused her to feel separate. Pastor sent out the secret place today, and it said, faith unites, doubt divides. And as she began to declare who he was and rehearse who her beloved was, and then to see him, and the Lord's telling me, see clearly. And it was that confession of who she knew him to be that she began to see clearly who he was. And as she remembered who he was, she knew where he would be because she knows him. And she knew where to find him. And she found him there. We are on the journey building that place of knowing him. Do not doubt the portion of the journey you are on, and don't be in a rush to get to some finished place, because he already knows the end from the beginning. He is waiting there. He is interceding, and when it's time, he will come on his horse and say, here we go. It's time to go. But until then, come know me. Come find me. Come see me. Let me cover you. When the enemy comes to shame and uncover you, remember who I am. I am your beloved, and you are mine. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Though you do not sense me, you are never alone. So let's pray. Thank you, awesome God. Thank you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, help us to tarry. Though the vision tarries, help us to wait. And help us to rehearse who we know you to be. Help us to stand guard over our heart and not give empowerment to fear. Let us confess it and let us yield it to you, that we can receive your truth, your vision, your voice. Though the voice tarries, it will speak and it will not lie. You are not a man that you should lie. If you say, I am not alone, I am not alone. If you say, you are my deliverer, I am delivered. If you say, I am loved, I am loved. I may not feel it, but it is true. You have spoken it and you do not lie. Help me wait. Help me wait in faith, Holy Spirit. You are my faith. You are my strength. Be my strength right here, right now. Be all of our strength, Lord. And help us to see clearly what you desire us to see. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. And because I know who you are, and I know how you are, I know where to find you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Good night.